All right. Thank you, Brother Jeff. You have your Bibles this evening. Make your way back, if you would, to the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs. We were there this morning. If you wanted to get a little bit of a head start on me, you could also put something in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. We will get there for just a moment to receive from the Lord Jesus' letters there our instruction for the evening. Began a two-message little day this morning on the subject of chapter 14, verse number 14, where Solomon is writing to the warning of his son. And the warning of his son, Solomon, is spending some time exalting wisdom and foolishness in the heart and mind of his son. The best way he knows how to do that is to do it from a position of contrast. And as he contrasts the blessing of wisdom and the fact that it brings about a gladness, he also highlights the consequence, the disappointment, and the discouragement of foolishness. He actually calls foolishness a heaviness, a burden, or a sorrow. And as Solomon is exalting wisdom here by contrast, He's worried about the heart of his son. And we came to chapter 14, verse number 14, and took one verse out of this section where Solomon identifies the backslider in heart. And Solomon was warning his son about this happening to him. And we spent some time this morning looking at what a backslider in heart is not, what a backslider in heart is. We said that there seems to be in Christianity a tremendous misunderstanding about this theme of backsliding. We were very careful to make sure that we understood that backsliding is not an excuse for continual disobedience to the Lord. Sometimes I hear people tell me, "Well, Pastor, I've been saved a long time ago. I'm just backslidden in my life. I'm not God," but you better understand there is a difference between backsliding and apostasy. Apostasy is the direct denial of the authority of Jesus Christ, of the lordship of the Lord, a denial of his working, a denial of truth, a repudiation of him. Many times, I think we have to be careful that we're not disguising lostness or a non-redemptive nature under the guise of "I'm just backslidden." We defined what the word backslider meant. It's the really and truthfully, it's, if you look the word up in the Strong's Concordance, it talks about flinching. And you know what it is to flinch. To flinch is to lose concentration. It's a little bit of a hindrance or weakness right before the moment, not a sticking to it kind of deal, a going back. As we study the Bible and as we study the theme of backsliding, we find that really and truthfully, as Dr. Ironside said, it's the believer taking back that ground which was once committed or surrendered to the Lord in our life. It's taking that consecration to God and his service that naturally follows being born again and taking that from a submission to the Lord to a self-indulgence or to a selfish behavior. It carries with it the idea of a withdrawing from a universal and an entire devotion to God. I like what Manly Beasley said. He said, "To the Christian, it is the leaving of his first love." None of us would ever want to leave our first love. Our first love ought to be the Lord Jesus in the Christian life, but we find that it is a reality. As we are told what the backslider is, we're also told where backsliding happens. And it happens in our heart. Solomon really was after the heart of his boy. And I really believe the reason that Solomon was after the heart of his boy is because he understood he had his own heart turned away from the Lord. You know, the wisest, wealthiest man to ever walk the face of the earth outside of the Lord Jesus, the man that was at the dedication of the temple, the man that God spoke to personally. I mean, you're talking about a wonderfully righteous man in Solomon, a heart to know God, and he left that heart unguarded. I think that's why the Spirit of God used Solomon to write that verse in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, for his son to keep his heart. Not only just to keep it, but to keep it with all diligence, with all concentration. Solomon said, if I was to reduce down my behavior and I was to reduce down the issues of my life, basically it is the outflow of where my heart is. And so Solomon wanted and desired for his son to have a heart and to choose to have a heart for God. And so he's warning him about the flinching in his heart. And that warning, I want to be heeded not only from Solomon's son, but I want it to be heeded by us as well. And we went and took some time this morning talking about how to recognize the evidences. Pastor, is my heart flinching when it comes to serving the Lord? Is my heart flinching when it comes into an honest walk with the Lord? And we went through all of those evidences. And really and truthfully, I think if you were to boil down all of those individual evidences from this morning, the supreme one boils down to your joy. It boils down to the rendering of my service being a formality or being the outflow of a walk with the Lord. I think even Jared talked about it. As my service becoming habitual, Paul said, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You would be amazed at how easily, if the heart is left unguarded, that it is vulnerable to just withdrawing a little bit or distraction or following another one instead of following the Lord. That's why the heart must be maintained on the Word of God. It must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and directed accordingly. And so as I'm analyzing my heart to see if it's flinching, I'm looking at how I'm serving the Lord. I loved what the writer said. The writer said, if serving the Lord is become a religious duty or has in some way become frustrating to you, then you're not serving the Lord. I got to say that again because it's so powerful. If serving the Lord has become frustrating or my worship has become duty only, then I'm not truly serving the Lord. Just because you sing in the choir doesn't mean you're serving the Lord. It just means you're singing. Just because I'm preaching the message doesn't mean that I'm preaching the message to the glory of the Lord. It's just preaching. And so as I'm analyzing my heart where it is with the Lord, and I don't want it to flinch and draw back, I think one of the early evidences of that is I begin to lose the joy of serving the Lord. I begin to get unthankful. I begin to get habitual. And really, one of the words that I used this morning is I begin to get hollow. My lights are on, but nobody's home. Frustration will set in. Murmuring will set in. Complaining. Backsliders in heart are murmurers and complainers. There's just no way about it. And so that's where I find myself. And then as I moved on into the consequence of that, we found that the consequence is mentioned in verse number 14. And it's so broad is this consequence to a backslider in heart. And Solomon said, he shall be filled with his own ways. When you study his own ways throughout the Bible, you will find that it's never a positive thing. Matter of fact, go if you would to just back to verse number 12. And Solomon even references it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. All right, that would be his own way. But the end thereof are the ways of what? So the consequence of a backslider in heart is that he's filled with his own ways. Opposite, remember, it's a passage of contrast. Opposite the good man, for the Bible says the good man shall be satisfied. Just because you're filled with something doesn't mean you're satisfied. And the filling of my way, apart from the way of God, is never going to be satisfying. And so I went through a whole list, and you can go back and listen to that message if you want to, of some of the consequences that happen to the backslider in heart. And really and truthfully, I do believe where frustration and religious exercise is kind of the overall evidence, the overall consequence of that is condemnation, a feeling of condemnation, self-condemnation. The backslider in heart faces condemnation everywhere he turns. He faces it in his conscience. He's condemned if he doesn't go to church. He's condemned if he does go to church. His conscience bothers him if he doesn't read the Word of God. It bothers him. The Word of God pricks him when he does. And there's just never any peace or joy that he's in a wonderful position of rest in the Lord. And so his soul is filled with unrest. And that's not the Christian life, by the way. Jesus said, "Peace I leave unto you, joy I give unto you." And by the way, there is something called the joyous Christian life. And so these are things that we talked about this morning. And I promised you tonight, upon understanding this, how we could recover from the state of being a backslider in our heart. Because really and truthfully, well, most people, the vexation is just so heavy. It's so consuming and it's so frustrating that really and truthfully, they just resign to the fact that this is my spiritual life. I will always be pathetically, spiritually weak. I got news for you. You don't always have to be anything. You can do all things through Christ. And we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so there's help available, and I would like to give you that help. Three things I think you ought to write down if you want to recover from a state of backsliding as far as a backslider in heart. Write the first word down is reject. Reject. You must reject your own personal justification. You must reject your own personal justification. If your conscience is condemning you, if the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is chastening you, if there is the movement of God in the unfolding of where you are, in the unfolding of this behavior, then you're never going to be delivered if you continually justify yourself. What would that look like? Well, I've tried before and I just keep failing. Therefore, there's no use in trying anymore. There's no hope for me. I got news for you. As long as Jesus is alive, there's always hope. The other type of justification is, Pastor, I know what I should do. I'm just not doing it right now. But there will be a day when I will come around. And now you're getting presumptuous. Now you're getting to a point where the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So what I'm saying is, God, I know what you want. I'm not willing to do what you want me to do. And the way I'm justifying this is I'm saying there will be a day when I will. Here's the problem. Never outside of now does it get easier to humble yourself to the Lord. That was fascinating. Somebody ought to make a t-shirt on that. Never outside of now will it ever get easier to humble myself to the Lord. Well, no, Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances right now. No, Pastor, you don't understand. I must finish this one thing. No, Pastor, you don't understand. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, right? And so what most people try to do is it's not where it's an excuse other than I'm just not willing. And as long as I'm justifying myself, as long as I'm finding a way to excuse or to push off the conviction of the Lord, then I'm never coming out of that backsliding state. Reality is, I must reject my own justification, and I must realize that there is a problem. And as I realize there is a problem, the problem is that I'm filled with my own way. I'm not spiritually satisfied. There is an unrest in me. Now, this ought to be easy to understand, especially if you've had moments where you've been at peace with the Lord and you know what it is to walk with the Lord and you know what it is to have the power of God and you know what it is to have control and you know what it is to have your mind settled and you know what it is not to be short-tempered and the fruit of the Spirit is evidence, and then all of a sudden you're just different. You're just not, we could say, hitting on all cylinders. We must recognize somewhere my own way is involved here. You will never get out of a backsliding position until you're honest with yourself. No, Pastor, you said that wrong. Don't you mean be honest with the Lord? No. I'm not interested in you being honest with the Lord. Why? Because the Lord knows everything. It's not me being honest with the Lord. It's just time for me to be honest with the Lord. That's stupid. He knows everything. It's time for me to be honest with myself. I have found that as I'm honest with myself, good night, then I'm open to the Lord's working in my life. Lord, I just want to be honest with you. That's ridiculous. Aren't you glad God knows everything? Reject my justification. Number two. You got to remember where you were, where you've fallen from. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're coming back to Proverbs 14. Speaking to the church at Ephesus here. He accuses them of, Jesus does, of leaving their first love in verse number 4. And upon that, which many Bible scholars would use as a definition of what a backslider is, verse number 5 begins with the word what? Remember therefore from whence thou art what? Fallen. It's time that I take an honest assessment of where I am as to where I used to be. It's time for me to deliberately contrast my present state as it was when I walked with the Lord. And really and truthfully, as I do that, it's time for me to determine, what do I want? I'm never going to get out of a backslidden position until I determine within myself, where do I want to be? Not where does Pastor want me to be? Not where my spouse wants me to be? Not even so much where the Lord wants me to be. Where do I want to be? I mean, there was a time in my life when I walked with God. There was a time in my life when, man, God answered my prayer and the power of God was on me and there was such a, and now I find myself over here under this consternation of my own way, and I've got to begin to remember where I used to be. By the way, don't let the devil tell you there's no way back. There's always a way back with Jesus. The prodigal son did this. In the hog pen, he said, let me think about my dad and how he treated that. Solomon was using contrast to get his son to determine, what do you want to do, kid? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be vexed and filled with your own way? Or do you want to be satisfied as a righteous man in the Lord? It was not until his son made his decision on what he wanted that he was going to be able to ever determine to humble himself to the Lord. I find a lot of times as a pastor, I just got to ask people, what do you want? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? What kind of man do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be? What type of relationship do you want with God? You know, I have found that you can't help people who don't want to be helped. You see, I have to contrast where I used to be when I walk with God and to where I am now. And I have to be truthful about where I am now as opposed to where I used to be. And I have to understand the exact situation between God and me. Now remember this, right? Solomon is really after the heart of his boy. And Solomon says, now backsliding happens in your heart. Hold your hand here, go to Psalm 139. Let me give you a verse to pray. And this is a verse that you ought to stand on. I think it's a first verse that will open the door of deliverance to take us out of a backslidden position. Psalm 139, if you can get there. It's not too far back. Go to verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know my what? He's not so God would learn something. He's just giving him full access to his heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Wow. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way, where, class? In me. And lead me into the way of everlasting. You see, if I'm ever going to be delivered from a backslidden position, I got to keep in mind where I fell from. And I've got to take an honest assessment of where I am. And then I've got to determine, what do I want? Do I want God's power? Do I not want God's power? Do I want God's blessing? Do I not want God's blessing? Do I want a heart that's searched by God and tried by God? Do I want a true heart here? Do I really want to live my life according to the and be filled with my own way? Do I really want to live opposite of the Word of God? Do I really want to live without the power of God? Listen, it takes self-motivation to walk with the Lord. And really and truthfully, as Solomon was giving these contrasts to his son, I would encourage you, you ought to take Proverbs chapter 10 all the way through verse 15, or chapter 15. Just read the chapters and then determine, what do you want? God, give us and give me, give our church a heart to want righteousness from the Lord. You must reject your own personal justification. You have to, or you're never going to get out. You must remember from where you were in contrast where you are and then take an inventory of what do I want. And you got to be truthful about it. And you got to have the exact situation. And you got to let God have access to your heart. And then lastly, write the word repent. That's what you find in Revelation chapter number 2 when he talked about to the church at Ephesus. He said, remember, therefore, verse number 5, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Now, here's where I want to be very, very careful. You are never going to get out of backsliding through reformation. Reformation. What does the Reformation have to do with this message? I'm talking about you cannot attempt to get back to a place where you were on fire with the Lord and a heart for God by just merely reforming your outward character or your outward conduct. It's not where, okay, I'm doing these things, now I need to do these things. Pastor said that the evidence of backsliding was not reading, so I'm going to read my Bible. Not praying, so I'm going to pray. Not loving souls, so I'm going to love souls. The evidence of this is not enjoying things that have a benevolence to them or a love to them, and not where I'm aggressively talking about the Lord. And so I don't want to do those things. So as of tonight, I'm going to change my ways. My friends, you and I don't have the power to change our ways. And you're going to be doubly frustrated and vexed. It's not until you throw yourself upon the sovereign mercy of a holy God that you will and find yourself repenting in your heart that you're ever going to know deliverance from a backslidden condition. Most people just think that somehow that they can just begin to change their ways, but they don't see it as sin. They don't see it, spend that personal time with the Lord. They don't deal with repentance. And repentance deals with that change of mind. It's that understanding. Okay, God, I understand that I'm hollow. I understand that I'm nothing but a suit. I understand that this is just a formality in what I am doing. I have lost my joy. I have lost the power of God upon me. I have lost these things. And I reckon where I am here. I'm not doing these things. I see the consequences of this in my life. And so I don't. So I'm just going to begin to change my ways. No. You got to fall down on your knees and you've got to open up your heart and you've got to say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. Because in reality, backsliding is sin. It happens in our hearts. And the temptation is just to reform and try to make myself better. And the temptation is to try to handle it alone. And sometimes that temptation is the evidence that I don't really want to humble myself to the Lord. Have you ever been pricked in your spirit when it comes to telling the Lord the truth? I know you know everything, Lord, but if I say this, then it means I really have meant it. So I'm going to find a way to skirt around what I still hear. I'm not going to acknowledge this. I'm just going to skirt this. If I acknowledge this, I don't know that I can keep that. I don't know. I kind of like that. I don't know that I want to lose that in my life. I'm not sure that I could live life without that. I don't know that I'm going to be satisfied here. I know that doesn't please you, but Lord, I'm just going to skirt that and try to change my behavior and make it this way. God doesn't work like that, my friend. It's total repentance if there's going to be any forgiveness. And so this is where we find ourselves. A rejection of our personal justification. A remembering of where we were and an assessment of where we are. A contrast to that. A determination. What do I want? Do I want to live in the fruit of my filled with my own way? Or do I want to go back in that time where I walked with God and He talked with me? And He heard my cry, and He heard my prayer, and He blessed me, and the peace of God was on me. I would say this, if you're a Christian, and you're a true believer, you want to walk with God. Some things get in the way. Time, distance, procrastination, days. It seems like the longer we walk a certain path, the harder it is to humble ourselves. And then the devil tells us things like, well, you're too far, or this is never going to change. Let me tell you something. The very first way that you get God's attention is by humbling yourself to his holy name. And then once I have assessed what do I want, and I've remembered where I was, and I want to get back to that, then it begins with a repentance in my heart. I've got to give God access to my heart. I've got to see it as a sin in my heart. And then once I have received forgiveness there, then as I know he's cleansed me in my heart, then I've got to set to keep my heart with all diligence. And the setting of my heart to keep with all diligence doesn't take the place of God. I still need God, but I run to him. I'm submitted to him. I let the word of God indwell into my heart. I hide God's word in my heart that there may not be sin. I'm careful about that. And when I sense the little slightest agitation in my heart toward the things of God, okay, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I should not feel in my heart this bitterness. I should not feel in my heart like I don't want anything to do with that. I should not be suspicious in my heart. I should not be angry here. And I become very sensitive to how my heart is responding to the things of God. I'm diligent to it because out of that are the issues of life. Amen? All right. That's how you recover. Shall we pray?